Welcome to Restore the Pot Sports, presented by CMG Podcast of Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Sander Sanchez. How you doing, mommy?
Doing good, baby. Doing good.
Yeah, man. I'm doing good, too. I'm happy on a Wednesday's hump day, so happy Wednesday to everybody watching. We're halfway to Friday, guys. We're almost there. But nonetheless, guys, I want to talk about some sports, and I want to start with the NBA because the big man got paid in Philadelphia, Joel Embiid. Got paid and he got signed a 4-year contract, $196 million supermax extension center, which makes him the highest paid center in the league right now. And to me, it kind of tells me something. It kind of tells me, listen, I'm Philadelphia and looking like I'm moving forward with Joel Embiid and not Ben Simmons, because that's what I see. Actions speak louder than words to me. And the last time I saw Ben Simmons, Sander, he looked scared in the playoffs. And in the city of Philadelphia, that's a big no-no, because you know they want to win a ring more than anything there. Closest they got to was back when Iverson was there, and they won that game one against the Lakers. Remember the way he stepped over Ty Lue, the coach for the Clippers, and then after that, the Lakers won 4 straight, and that's history being told there. But nonetheless, they made the move for Embiid. You think that they could compete in that window of time to win the East?
I'd tell you this. They're in the top three with that move solidifying that they want Embiid, and they're keeping Embiid. It's just building around them at this point. They've tried the Ben Simmons project. It's just not going to work. So with him unfollowing the entire Sixers organization, it just shows us that they're going to be shopping him. They're going to be moving away from him. And when they signed Embiid, they literally just told everybody that we're building around Embiid. We're building around an MVP caliber player, a guy who, when healthy, is probably one of the best players in the league. And when he's healthy, let's just say he's a little bit more healthier than he's been, he's the best big man in the game, because he gives everybody a run for their money when he's on the court. And that's the only knock on him. And it's a big knock nonetheless, because the Sixers are taking a chance and investing in him big time like this, because Embiid doesn't have the history of being a healthy horse all throughout this season. But when he's healthy, JJ, he's the best player on the court most nights, and he's just proven it, especially last season, the way he was putting up numbers with the best of them. If he would have played maybe 10 more games.
He was an MVP candidate last year.
He would definitely was, and quite frankly, if he would have played 10 games, he possibly would have won MVP. But that's neither here nor there. Jokic did his thing. He stayed healthy the entire season, and one of the best abilities is – you know, availability. So, you know, but still, even with that being a huge factor in his career, he's still dominant. He's still one of the best players in the league. So back to my regular point, Jay, Philadelphia is letting us all know that Embiid is the person that we're building around. Embiid is going to be the horse that gets us to the dance. And they're going to build around him. And that's not a bad decision, because he's that guy. He's that talented. If they were to somehow ever manage to get a guy where Embiid is your second best player, then the league is in trouble. But the fact that Embiid holds the talent where he's your best player and you can build around him, he's really one of the few players of his era, his style of play, that's left standing in this NBA. And that says a lot, because the way the NBA is going now, he's still a top defensive player in the league at his position, where centers are usually obsolete. They're no longer. I mean, Rudy Gobert and Embiid, you know, as good as Joker is, though, he's not what Embiid is defensively, is what I'm trying to say. Because the way the league is now, it's, you know, guys like Embiid don't last long, but he's still breaking that barrier. He's still in there, one of the last of his kind, and he's elite at that. So they're hard to come by, Jay. They really had to look long and hard and say, look, well, who are we going to build around? Are we going to build around a Simmons? Are we going to build around an Embiid? And it just showed you last season, you touched on it. Simmons looked scared. He didn't want to take an open layup because he was scared to get fouled and miss the free throws. And straight up, Jay, excuse my French, but Philly ain't about that bitch assness. So if you with that, if you with any of that, especially in Philly, man, they out there, but they out there booing and throwing snowballs at Santa Claus, man. There's no love for softness in that city. So I'm with Philly on this one. Build around the better player and use Simmons to, because JJ, as great as Embiid is, as good as that team is, they're not going to do it with just Embiid. They need another guy that's basically equal to Simmons or better with, you know, a shot, a guy that can make his own shot. Because Simmons, yes, he lacked offensively, but defensively he was elite. Decision making, he was elite. Like, you know, some say that he's a jump shot away from being one of the best players in the league. And that is true, but at this point, that's just not him.
That's not what it's gonna be.
Exactly. So maybe if he right now, what the best you could wish for Simmons is work on your free throws, buddy. Do what Giannis did. I mean, Giannis, even though he ain't no punk and he will take the shot, but Giannis knows, as long as I work on my free throws, I'm good for 30. If I can work on my free throws, that's a 35, 40 piece every night. So, but to be real, Jay, Simmons at this point ain't going to learn it in Philly. He's not going to get better in Philly, especially around that environment now where it's like, damn, you've been exposed not once, but twice in the playoffs. You just been exposed. And that's not going to get it done, Jay. So if anybody in Philly's upset with it because they're like, damn, he got paid. Now we know Simmons is on the move. Don't be upset, Philly, because right now the general manager is understanding we're going to be competing with Milwaukee. We're going to be competing with the Brooklyn Nets. We need to build around Embiid to do so because we're not going to be competing with those guys with Simmons. So build around Embiid. Bring a guy that Embiid feels like is going to help him because, quite frankly, Jay, you got to go run by Embiid. This franchise is Embiid's. You have to run everything by him. So make sure it's his guy. Make sure it's a guy that he wants there. And you can do it. With the money that you're going to be transferring off from Ben Simmons, you're going to have a lot of space and a lot of value to bring somebody in for Embiid to maybe Philadelphia to compete with Milwaukee and compete with the Brooklyn Nets, because that's the only team in the East that can do so. And when you look at Milwaukee and you look at the way Philly was, even with Ben Simmons last season, Philly had a chance to beat Milwaukee. Would it have happened? Maybe not, but they had a really good chance because they beaten Milwaukee before. But I'll tell you this, with someone that can actually score off the dribble and get their own shot, I feel like Philly can make some noise in playoffs, can make some noise in the East. Because Embiid is a monster. It's a handful to try and handle him alone. So I'm with it. I like them. I like the fact that they solidified Embiid, made sure that he's the cornerstone to that franchise. I like it, and I'm with it, Jay. They're only going to get better. They're only going to be competing with the top three. And that's a position where you want to be. Anything else, like a Boston Celtics debacle where they're only, with all that talent, they're a seventh seed, or, you know, anything lower than a fifth seed, it's just a disappointment. Philly's in a good spot to be competing for the top three seed in the East. And that's where they're going to be with Embiid, not with Simmons.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like Philadelphia really bought in, and they're like, you know what? We started this whole process thing when it came to Joel Embiid center, because he was a centerpiece when it came to it. Embiid was the process, and then you got Ben Simmons, and then you really had to really invest in these guys that really put themselves out there being injured, and we really had to wait, and it looked really good at some point, Sander, but at some point, you got to give up, and it looks like they are going to give up on Ben Simmons, and I'm glad they are because they're making the right choice with Joel Embiid. As you see, that's the $1 million smile right there. Actually, let me correct that. That's a $196 million smile right there because the man's going to make a nice, pretty check, Sander. But I agree, you know, and you said something that really caught my ear. You said, oh, if Embiid's your number two guy, then the whole league has to be on notice if he's your number two guy, and they really have the potential to make that happen because – listen, there's been a lot of Dame Lillard talk maybe coming to Philly. And something about Dame Lillard and Philly just sits right in my soul. Like, he just personifies that Philadelphia mentality. And I think a guy like Dame with Joel, who he literally brings the asset that he needs. You know what I mean? Every big needs that wing, and them two together will be a really great combo. And even though I think Dame Lillard lacks the assist that Ben Simmons brings to the table, because I think Ben Simmons just a more naturally gifted passer than Dame Lillard is. He is just naturally gifted that way. You know, I think maybe they'll struggle in that. But if you were to get Dame Lillard, Joel Embiid, and just load him up with a few more key players, keep Seth Curry on that team, you got something really good brewing right there. And you said, if you're in the top three in your conference, that's definitely the best place you got to be. And you're a Kyrie injury away, or a KD injury away, or Giannis misses a couple games here and there, and somehow you could keep it together, Philly, you could sneak your way into an NBA Finals, Sander.
Of course. I mean, we all know that Milwaukee was great, but Milwaukee kind of did that. It had that scenario where they sneaked into the finals.
You think if James Harden was 100%?
They'd be 100%. In the Nets? I mean, 100%. They could barely hang with the Nets with Kyrie on the court. When Kyrie was there with Durant, they wouldn't have hold. They could not have hold Harden and KD if they was both 100%. But yeah, Philly can find themselves in a situation if an anomaly like last season's playoffs were to happen again, which I pray doesn't happen. But no. We've seen crazy things. And if something like that were to happen, and then Embiid is still standing there healthy with the Damian Lillard, yes, he might not be the passer Simmons is, but the shot-making ability, the three-point threat, just the threat of him scoring offsets all that passing that Ben Simmons is.
Absolutely. I think it would be a great fit. I think it's
a beautiful fit. It would be a beautiful fit marketable-wise. Just straight in environment-wise, culture-wise, Philly is that brotherly love, that toughness, you know? That's what Dame Lillard embodies, you know? And I would love to see that happen, Jay, but I don't think it's going to. Because
it could, though.
It could. I mean, maybe some draft picks and Ben Simmons, because if you see Dame Lillard and Embiid, right? And then you got Matisse, right? That defensive kid that was phenomenal last season with the Seth Curry. That's a threat right there. That's a legitimate threat. Philly knows they're in the best position.
That means you would keep Joel Embiid, Dame Lillard in the scenario, and then your third option is Tobias Harris?
Jay, all I'm saying is the Philadelphia 76ers made the right decision. Anybody that thinks otherwise shouldn't be watching sports. But I tell you this, though. Ben Simmons, it's not the end of the world for him. This kid is still a great talent. By no stretches, he trash. By no stretches, he buns. He just needs to develop a little bit more in the confidence area, a little bit more. I think he needs a lot more training with the shot. But he's going to be fine, Jay. So I'm not worried about either players in this situation, because I think Ben Simmons will be all right. So let's not feel bad for the kid either. He'll be okay.
I don't feel bad. He smashed Kendall Jenner, so I don't know how we got to be sad about. Like, that's a pretty damn good life.
And he pushing a beautiful Ferrari 488. Oh, so beautiful. So
he's good. Kid. Nonetheless, I am happy for Joel Embiid for getting his money. At least, you know, he's financially secure now. So, I mean, he's a guy that has been injury prone in the past, and maybe the money has tried to push him out there. So it's good to know that you're secure now. You're trying to focus on yourself and try to be the best version that you can be, Joel Embiid, of yourself. Because you said it, Sander, when Joel Embiid is healthy, he's without a doubt possibly the best center in the league. Like, I'm a big Jokic guy, but I understand the in-the-paint presence that Joel Embiid presents that Jokic doesn't present. Like, Jokic is very finesse, and he's very 2020, 2021 center style. But no, you can put it in Joel Embiid any time and put him in any time frame in basketball, and he will be a great player at any time.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, basically, Sixers at this point, just look for Embiid's Robin. Just look for his Robin, or make Embiid a Robin if you can. And if Embiid's your Robin, NBA, watch out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Embiid's your two, that's scary. That's scary. And like I said, if you go out and get Dame Lillard Philly, you might have that in the works. So listen to Stir the Pot Sports. We say smart stuff here. Just listen to us. We got you, yo. We got you. But listen, I do want to go to the NFL because talk about guys making money. We got a guy that got cut, and Tim Tebow's run in the NFL is over. His good friend Urban Meyer cut him, and he is officially out of the NFL. And, you know, he went out there. And, you know, he did deliver a tweet that I will present on the screen. But I'm just taking a quick highlight because, you know, he was an exciting player to watch play, Sander. And on Monday's show, you know, you felt really adamant that Tim Tebow was going to be on this team for a while. And I just want to remind all our fans what you had said on Monday's show. Give me a second.
He did his job, okay? Look, man. But as far as the second question goes, how long would Tim Tebow stay at Jag? Jay, for as long as he wants. Quite frankly, for as long as he wants. Because
As long as Urban
and
Meyer
Urban wants him there. And Urban wants him there.
Yeah, Urban didn't want him there. He made it pretty damn clear really fast. All right, Tim, your time has expired. Peace. Thanks for showing up. We're going to go. And, you know, Tim took it like a champ. He put out a tweet saying, thankful for the highs and even the lows, the opportunities and the setbacks. I've never wanted to make decisions out of fear of failure, and I'm grateful for the chance to have pursued a dream. You know, Tim Tebow has now been a trial man in the sense of sports, came into the NFL, did the quarterback thing, then went to baseball, tried to do the thing there in the minor league, and then he came back and thought that he could play tight end. And that didn't really work out too well, as you saw, Sander. But nonetheless, how will you remember Tim Tebow's sport career?
Well, Jay, I was wrong. I was flat out wrong.
So okay? Wrong.
I could have been even more wrong. But, Jay, I will say this. Tim Tebow is going to be remembered by me for more of his college than what he did as a pro. What he did as a pro, it wasn't really that impressive to me. He had that highlight with the Denver against the Steelers. But to me, that was more luck rather than his skill or anything other than that. I think that was just straight luck to me. He's still going to be remembered, though, as a phenomenal college quarterback. Like, let's not sit here and pretend like that the Florida Gators weren't two-time national champions under Tim Tebow.
He was more responsible for the second one. The first one, didn't really play much, but
he was there,
I guess.
I don't want to hear it, man. The kid in college was phenomenal. Two-time Heisman winner 1 year, two-time Heisman because he was runner-up the other year. So if you're in the Heisman conversation, Jay, for 2 years straight, I don't care what you did. You were a part of it. You were productive.
He didn't start the first year. He came in really late in that first year. And then the second year, I give him all the credit in the world.
I guess. But, I mean, still, I'm not going to take it away from him that he was a phenomenal college player. There's just players in the NFL that – there's just football players, Jay, where their collegiate accolades and their collegiate just doesn't – it doesn't go and transfer well to the NFL. You know, we saw one of the most phenomenal running backs of all time in college, Reggie Bush. And I'm not going to sit here and say that his pro career was trash. But
yeah, he was a Reggie.
He wasn't the USC Reggie, you know. And I feel like a little bit of that is with Tim Tebow, where Tim Tebow was not the Tim Tebow in college. But a lot to do with his mechanics because, let's be real, Jay, as phenomenal as he was in college, we just didn't see that in Tim Tebow where it was going to transfer well in the NFL. Like, his mechanics weren't there.
The dude threw 48% for a career. That's under 50% standard.
I know. And I just don't understand how he was so great in college, man. But
I mean, when you got Percy Harvin to throw deep to, that helps.
Of course. Oh, Percy, you have
Hernandez.
I mean, I'm just saying, you got some real killers on that team. You know what I'm saying? But still, you know, Tim Tebow is just always going to be remembered for me. The guy, you know what I'm saying?
Here we go.
The kneel down. And then the kneel down, the Tebowing in the end zone and his college career, because that's really all. And I'll throw in another thing, Jay, about Tim Tebow. He's a really, really, really good college football analyst. What he was doing
out there, he's one of the better ones. Absolutely.
Oh, hell yes. When he's out there in college game day, I love watching it. I love hearing his insight because he's one of the most intellectual persons in college football. He knows the ins and outs of all the college football needs that you need. So he's great at that. You know, he's always going to have a spot in sports. He's that type of guy. He's a charming dude as well. Good looking fellow. You know, he's a man of God. You know, this guy is well loved, well liked. You don't hear none of that nonsense of entitlement because, Jay, watching Tim Tebow throughout his career, we kind of like felt like, damn, man, like we kind of felt like a little bit of like white privilege where it's like, damn, only Tim Tebow would get this opportunity. You know what I'm saying? But he's made, even with all that, you didn't hear any of his teammates or anybody around him talk bad of the guy. You didn't hear any nonsense of him getting into some BS outside of work. You know, he was a straight edge guy, and you can't do nothing but appreciate and respect it. Because a guy as famous as Tim Tebow, anybody else would have been going crazy. I mean, a dude who's less than half famous than Tim Tebow, who Aaron Hernandez lost his mind when he threw it, when you got a little bit of money. So that just goes to show you the hardship, the leadership, that the type of human being that Tim Tebow is. Those type of guys don't come often. We love seeing their stories when they are in sports. It's sad that his athletic story couldn't be as more, you know, couldn't be a little bit more historical than it kind of planned out to be. Because coming out of college, when he was in Florida, as phenomenal he was, a lot of people did think that, damn, he's going to be great. He's going to be the next Elway or something that's of that caliber.
People were like, he's going to go in the first round, and he did.
Yeah, but it just goes to show you that, you know, it doesn't matter how talented you are. If that hard work putting into your craft isn't there, then you're just not going to pan out. But, Jay, I'm not going to take anything away from Tebow. Tebow was a phenomenal character in my athletic history. I'm always going to remember him. You know, he's never going to be one of those guys that was just a guy. Like a Johnny Manziel, he's never going to be that. He's always going to be known as a great college quarterback. And, you know, he had a good career, you know. And afterwards, when he's out there in TV and it's like 10, 15 years from now and we're still seeing Tim Tebow on the TV, we'll be able to tell our kids, hey, I'll tell you a story about that guy on TV. God. I'll tell you a story about that guy on TV. That's just how it's going to be, Jay.
I ain't going to tell my babies about no Tim Tebow. I'm like, yeah, that's a guy that threw 48% for a career. That's what Tim Tebow. But nonetheless, I digress. You know, I just didn't really appreciate like just the mechanics for him at the quarterback, but I thought he was more than that. He was more like a wildcat kind of guy. Could definitely make a lot of things happen with his feet, and I definitely do appreciate the intangibles that he bought, because I think that was his strongest weapon that he did, not only in the NFL but like you expressed in the collegiate level. 2 championships, 1 Heisman winner. You can't take that away from him. But I'm gonna share with you guys my favorite Tebow moment, which was a collegiate moment. Stay tuned.
Hey, let's go. Get in here right now. That's our bad in the first half. It ain't happening. We get the ball. I promise you one thing. We're going to hit somebody, and we're taking it down the field for a touchdown. I guarantee you that.
Guaranteed.
Look at me. Look at me.
Let's go.
We got 30 minutes.
Let's go.
For the rest of our lives.
For the rest of our lives.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Lock on. Hey.
We a team.
Hey. Lock on. Lock on. Hey. Put your heart on the table.
Hey, we got to go. Show up.
Hey. Let's go. Hey.
Yeah, if I'm in that locker room right there, I'm fucking somebody up for Tim Tebow. Like, that's my guy.
That's what I'm saying.
I need to rewatch the video and really take the time and figure out who was the hype man that was hyping him up too. He's like, let's go. Yeah, there was always that guy in the end, like, yeah, Tebow. Yeah, like I need to know who that is, because everybody needs a friend like that. Because listen, That was an intangible. Tim Tebow, he just made the locker room better. Even if you knew that he wasn't going to give you the production on the field, you saw the guy try hard and you're like, you know what? Even though you're not nice, I appreciate that you bring it every single day. And that's somebody that you really do need in the locker room, Sanders. So I definitely do appreciate that. And who knows? If Peyton Manning wasn't a free agent and he didn't get the nerve surgery and he didn't want to, and he didn't hit up Elway and be like, yo, I'm trying to play for the Broncos, maybe Tim Tebow had a longer career, man.
Maybe, but one of my favorite moments of Tim Tebow was also in college when he took a bad L to a team, and then that press conference, he says, I promise you nobody was going to work harder than I'm ever going to work for the rest of the season. And they went on to win the national championship that year. So I respect it.
Yeah, and, you know, I do want to replay a play that I know drives Shannon Sharp wild, which was, you know, Tim Tebow hitting Demaryius Thomas on that route. And it's so iconic because it really comes down to be the best Tim Tebow play of his career. It's the one that we'll always remember. You know what I mean? It's just none of us saw it coming. Big Ben and the Steelers just looked like, you know, they weren't like the powerhouse that year, but they looked like, you know, they're the Steelers. They're going to make some noise. You know, it's funny. I think if I recall right, that was the year that the Steelers were like, oh, yeah, now we're looking forward to New England. We about to spank New England. And then Pittsburgh came, and then the Denver came and put them on their asses. So that's a lesson to never look ahead of your opponents. But 100%. Nonetheless, Andrew, you know, I'm sure it's not the last time we're going to see Tebow. I'm sure we'll see him on College Game Day, which he does a great job on, like you said. So congratulations to Tebow to nonetheless with a great NFL career.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be remembered for more positive than any negative anyone can think of.
Yeah, absolutely. The Tebow maniacs will always continue, as you always know. But we got from a guy that got cut, Sander, to a guy that got the bag, man, because Jamal Adams said, yo, I'm trying to get out of New York, and I'm trying to get paid and actually be on a good team as a winner. And that he did. He's a Seattle Seahawks for now, for the next 4 years, signing a $72 million extension, which made him the highest paid safety in the league. And, man, this guy's a stud, Sander. I'm not sure if he's the best safety in the league, but when it comes to stopping the run again, the tackle, there's very little in the league that really do it like Jamal Adams. And I'm going to let it play out a little bit for all of our viewers, because I'm going to show you the attitude that you're supposed to have when you sign a contract like this. I'm going to show you right now. There you go. You go home and you light one of those and you say, I'm a freaking winner. You're a freaking winner, Jamal Adams. You got everything you wanted. You said, I'm getting out of New York. I'm coming to Seattle, and now we're going to make it happen. But listen, Seattle's known for that Legion of Boom, Sander. Ever since they won that championship, that's what they're trying to recreate, and they're trying to get back there with Russell. Do you think with this deal, they're getting closer to that goal or further away from it?
Oh, you cannot get further away. You definitely are getting close. With a guy like Jamal Adams, I'll answer your question, Jay. He's not the best, but he's top three, and he's not three. I'll tell you that. He's one of the best safeties in the game today. And, Jay, when he's on the field.
He's one of the top three, but he's not three. So you say top two, damn it.
Hey, I got to make it flow, baby. I got to
make it flow. Nah, that was funny.
But listen, when Jamal Adams was on the Jets, he wanted to stay a Jet, man. As bad as they were, he wanted to stay there. And the Jets was like, all right, fam, we going to keep you. And the next day, they were on the phone accepting phone calls. And Jamal Adams was like, wait, what? Okay, so then trade me. And
that's
then
that Adam Gaze bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. And they had beef. That's another reason why he wanted to get out of there after he found out that they were accepting phone calls. And with Seattle, he said, I'll go to Seattle as long as y'all promise to extend me. And then he got hurt. So now they're like, damn, do we extend them? Do we not? But when he was on the field for Seattle, Seattle had a top 10 defense. When he wasn't on the field for Seattle, Seattle dipped. They put two and two together. We're better with this guy than when he's not on.
And you got to give Seattle credit, Sander, because you know there'd be a lot of snake shit out there for Seattle to really bring this guy in and keep their word. And listen, we're going to extend you because we see the value that Adam Gase didn't see in you. We could do that. You got to give Seattle Seahawks a lot of credit for that.
100%, because he's one of those guys on defense that get better year and year. Every year, like, he's not one of those guys that's gonna get stagnant or just decline. He gets better. He's one of the smartest players on defense. He learns from the best. I mean, pairing him up with Bobby Wagner, a veteran, a champion who's been there, done that, faced one of the best defense. It's like having Bobby Wagner out there on the safety. He's that smart. He's that type of caliber player. This is great for Seattle. You know, the fact that he wanted 40, but Seattle guaranteed him 38. I mean, it's just $2 million, baby. Come on now. I don't know why it took so long for just $2 million, but I get it. You know, I know you want your bread, but it's made him the highest paid safety in football right now. I think Buda Baker and Simmons are right behind him, but it's all well deserved, Jay. This isn't a guy that we have any questions or any wonders like, damn, did they really need to pay him this much? Because for damn sure he was worth it. There wasn't going to be anybody better out there. There wasn't going to be someone that you was going to draft that was going to bring his type of production. So, yes, because, Jay, if Seattle didn't sign him, I guarantee you come free agency, there was going to be a bunch of teams lining up at the door to try and get him. And the Dallas Cowboys were going to be one of them because the Cowboys were one of the teams interested. You're
first in line.
They were one of the teams that was interested in him when the Jets was accepted.
Did he play at Texas? I'm gonna search that real quick.
I think he played at Texas. But he looks like a Texas boy anyway. Then when I say Texas, he looks like a Dallas kid. That's what I'm saying. Not no Houston Texan. But he definitely looks like a kid that would love to wear the star. But Seattle knew. You touched on it, Jay. They knew the potential. They knew the
He went to LSU, okay? Mm-hmm. But his high school team was Hebron and Carlinson, Texas. So I'm sure he has a lot of Cowboy in him probably.
Somebody just told me
he was a Dallas guy. Listen,
he had a Dallas Cowboy shirt on, and when they asked him, they was like, nah, man, I'm just a fan.
I remember that.
So, Jay, but to get back to Seattle again, they're making the best move for them. They knew that, you know, they were just dealing with some BS with Russell Wilson about, yo, I need a team. I can't be the only thing on here. And getting that defense solidified is a recipe that they done built before that got them to the Super Bowl, like you touched. So, yes, they are making the right decision. I love it. Jamal Adams, congratulations, baby. You deserve every penny. And I'm only going to expect bigger things from Seattle. Because now with Jamal Adams locked up, it's just reassuring that they're in that division. They're going to be there with San Francisco. And it's going to be San Fran and Seattle and the Rams. Like those three defense, those are three of the top five defenses in the league right now in one division. Kyler Murray, hey, good luck, baby. Good luck facing
They got him JJ Watt, so he all right.
Yeah, but it's not mid-year JJ. It's not mid-career JJ Watt. It's like now's LeBron. It's like that version of LeBron. You know, you got the older JJ Watt, but it's still JJ Watt. You right? That defense, that division, Jay. Just look at those defenses. My God, my God. Every single one. But I mean, hey, I'm with it. I like Jamal Adams. I think he's at a right spot. You know, Seattle, Pete Carroll, that's a good culture defensively for him. That's a winner. And when you got Russell Wilson wanting, you know, basically forcing them to build that team, give them a team to compete with, you got to do everything you can. So I'm with it, Jay. I think that they can have success and will be competing for a top four seed in the NFC because I still don't think they're better than Tampa. They might be a little bit worse than Green Bay, but not too much. And, you know, this 3-4. They'll be competing with 3-4. So, good job for Seattle. They definitely made the right choice.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Sanders. When you got a player like Jamal Adams, you definitely got to do the best that you can to try to keep a caliber of his player in town. But I wish that they would have made this move a little later, and I'm going to elaborate that right now because, you know, you've mentioned how, like, the whole Russell Wilson thing, it was really, like, the offseason distraction when it came to the Seahawks. And they did, and they made him happy by making a lot of these moves, especially the one for Dwayne Brown, who's now his left tackle. And to me personally, I know this is the wrong move, Sanders, what I'm about to say. I know it's going to sound backwards because I know the Seattle got Jamal Adams first, and they promised him the contract first. But for me, I wish that they would have taken Dwayne Brown's contract and got that one done first. Because to me, Russell Wilson is still the most important Seahawks on this team. And you went out and got Dwayne Brown, and now he's looking to get extended, making sure that he's happy. And his happiness is connected to Russell Wilson's happiness. So I just wish that they would have gotten that deal done first. get Russell 100% happy and then deal with Jamal. But I feel like you got to get Jamal done. I get it. Like I said, I think it's both of them are the right move. I just wish that they would have done the Dwayne Brown move first, because that would have just tackled Russell Wilson at the same time. So you would have killed two birds with one stone. But Jamal Adams is the kind of player that you gave him his word. You got to get the deal done. And I'm glad that they at least did that. And listen, Pete Carroll is a very ego-filled person. You know what I mean? He definitely has one of these prestigious titles as one of the better coaches in the league, not only in the NFL, but also at USC when he was in the college level, bought a championship there. And his calling card is defense. So he definitely wants a guy like Jamal Adams on that team, because they know that, listen, we could score a lot of points with Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and they got Carson right now. And I feel like they still have a revolving door at running back ever since Marshawn Lynch just still haven't fixed it. They're still looking for a guy. But nonetheless, you know, like, you got to get Jamal Adams there to at least be that centerpiece for that defense.
Yeah, and Jay, they traded two first-round picks for him.
So you had to get it done.
Yeah. Like, especially the contract year, you had to. You couldn't let him walk, and you're giving away your building blocks for next year. So they had to sign him. Like, get your Dwayne Brown point. But I think Dwayne Brown isn't going to be asking for Jamal Adams type of money. So you might be able to get Dwayne Brown
It won't be a three-year contract, Sander, but it's left tackle money. It's not scrub money. Left tackles make money in this league.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. But again, you gave up two firsts for Jamal. You didn't give up two firsts for Dwayne. So you had to get the guy that you gave up more for. Because then it would have looked like, damn, what you give him up for, you was going to let him walk.
I just hope that, you know, look, he's happy there. He's smoking a cigar. I just hope he keeps it that way, because I will hate for a guy that gets his contract money. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, the worst case scenario, Aaron Hernandez got some money, great player, and then just lost control of what was his life. So I hope that Jamal Adams just has a better mental state than he does. And from everything I've read and heard about Jamal Adams, he takes football very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, football is his life. So I do think that Pete Carroll really has a staple when it comes to the next, what, 4 or 5 years when it comes to the Seattle defense, because I like what they're doing. They still got Bobby Wagner there, like you mentioned earlier. Last year, they made the trade to get Carlos Dunlap, and then they bought him back. He's still there as another pass rusher. Excuse me. So now you got a little pressure against some of those quarterbacks in this tough division that you mentioned. You got Kyler Murray that's going to be running around. You got Garoppolo that got some legs, and potentially you got Trey Lance on the way that also has legs. So you got to move around. And now you got Matthew Stafford, who, you know, he doesn't really move much, but he could drop a dart just like anybody else. So you got to put pressure on these guys. And Sander, listen,
the toughest division.
We're going to do something fun, because I thought about this as you were talking about. I would love for us to try to do a all division, all pro team. So basically, like, what we're going to do is, like, we're going to take, like, the NFC West, for an example, and we're going to try to make, like, the all-star team of just that one division. And it will be so hard, just that division alone, because it will be so tough. Stay tuned. That's going to be for another episode. But nonetheless, listen, I like the Seattle Seahawks and what they're doing right now. It's just going to be hard to get out that division at the moment.
Oh, yeah, toughest division by far in all of football. It's just, you look at 1 through 4, and there's just superstars and stars on both sides of the field on every single team. And that's hard to come by, because when you look at some divisions, they're top heavy. There are one or two teams and then two bottom feeders. One through four on that division can be your first or second best team on any other division in football. And that's crazy as hell.
And it's in the insane part about it all is that usually sometimes three and maybe sometimes just two teams get snubbed from a possible playoff spot just because they got to try to – like, you have to win at least 11 games in that division.
Oh, yeah.
And this year, 12, because we got the extra game. So it's really going to be a tight division to win. I'm really excited to see how everybody progresses. You know, I like Kyler. I want to see the step that they take in Arizona, the whole Stafford and L.A. scenario. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting watch. You know, Garoppolo and Trey Lance in San Francisco, who's going to be the starter at what point? That's going to be one that we're going to be looking for. And you also got Nick Bosa coming back for that defense, which everybody's just waiting to see him again. And then we've been talking Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson this whole time. So everybody knows what's going on with that. But I'm very excited, Sander. NFL is right around the corner. So excited. But listen, I do want to wrap up the show with some news we got of the NBA, which is a little far from now, but we love Christmas, and Christmas is so awesome. And we're going to get some primetime TV, and the Nets and the Lakers are going to highlight the NBA Christmas game. And I do want to touch on a point that our brother Jose Roman said earlier today. He said, what do you guys think of Jokic being the first MVP to not get a Christmas game? Listen, when you're in Denver, Jose, you could, or is it there Denver, or we could get LeBron, AD, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Blake Griffin, this guy, that guy. That's just TV, Jose. I'm sorry. I know you're hurt. You love your Nuggets. But guess what? These two teams just got the star power, and it's going to turn out to be a better game nonetheless, Andrew. But I'm very excited because, you know, last year the big experiment was, oh, how are the big three in Brooklyn going to do? KD, Kyrie, and Harden. And they looked to do fairly well. But we didn't really get to see a lot of the games of all three of them playing together. That's just something that didn't really get to happen often because of this due to injury or whatever. And I think, if I recall right, they only managed to play 17 games together overall, which is something that they're going to really want to work on year two, as now they're chasing Milwaukee for that East title when they were favorites. Now they're looking up to Milwaukee, as they should. Milwaukee should be the favorite at the moment, but it's going to be interesting. That big three against LeBron's new big three and against Russell Westbrook, AD, and LeBron. So who do you think wins this game?
Well, well, well. So far-fetched, but, you know, we're always excited to talk basketball, especially these two teams. We love to talk them. But, Jay, I'm going to go – I'm going to say something that's a little bit of odd of what I've been saying. I know you, I have the Brooklyn Nets as favored to win the finals next season.
You're not going to say what I think you're going to say.
I think you might be surprised. I think the Lakers are going to win this game because the Lakers are going to get up for it. The Lakers kind of have something more to prove than the Nets do, even though the Nets didn't win the championship.
I said, they prove shit.
I know, but I feel like the Lakers with Russell Westbrook, it's a different game. It's a different ball game. This is the type of game that Russell Westbrook gets on for. And I think they're going to catch the Nets sleeping, or they're going to catch the Nets in a game where it's like, yeah, you know, it's just a Christmas game. You know, we're just gonna go out here and put on a show, a Christmas show at that. Show. You know, because those games definitely have it's a regular season game, but with a little bit more razzle dazzle to
it.
You know,
Sandra, they say the NBA season starts on Christmas. You know what I mean? They say that's when it starts because after that, the playoff push really kicks in, and you're really starting to see where people are starting to land by that point.
That is true, 100%. But I still think for the Nets, they're not going to be too worried about this game. I think that's the reason why they'll lose this game, because the Lakers from the jump, I think the fact that they added Russell Westbrook, they're going to take games off, like, you know, like the Sacramento King games, you know, they'll take those games off, you know, I feel like, but games against the contenders, I think they're going to want to put them on notice. So this is the type of game that the Lakers would end up winning, and it might be one of those, you know, 10-point games or a real close game. But the Lakers, the fact that they're coming off two big guys in LeBron and AD coming off injury, you know, they're going to be up for this, Jay. By this time of the season, by come Christmas time, we're going to get a good feel of where the teams are at in the standings. And I'm under the imagination that – I'm under the belief that the Lakers aren't going to be anywhere under the top four seed come Christmas time. So this is going to be one of those games where they're going to want to make sure they're in a good position come playoff time, because they want to have home court advantage. They don't want to fall under what they did last season and fall to the eighth seed and have to play number one again. I don't think they want to do that. So come Christmas time, the Lakers are going to be in a position in the top four seed. The Nets are going to be coasting. Because the Nets are going to be coasting, Jay. They coasted.
Yeah, they're all going to stay healthy, Standard, right? They're all going to stay healthy. They're going to go 82-0 coasting.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I feel like the Nets know they're going to turn it on in the playoffs. Look at what they did last season. They turned it on. All injuries just so happened to derail it, but they turned it on. When Kyrie, Harden, and KD were on the court, they're unbeatable. When Kyrie and KD are on the court, they smacked Milwaukee those first two games, and we were thinking sweep before Kyrie went down. So, yes, Jay, they're going to be coasting because they already know the potential. I don't think they're going to want to be overexerting themselves in Christmas time when they know they need to put it on in the playoffs or at least late regular season going into the playoffs. That's when they're going to want to be turning it on. I'll tell you this. I'd be saying a whole nother story if this game, if this Christmas game was like an end of the season, regular season game, when teams are literally positioning themselves for seeding in the playoffs. I think, yeah, the Nets would definitely smack this Lakers team if it was to that, because the Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, there's no one beating that, bro. I'm sorry. There really isn't. I just don't believe – that's why they're already favored by Vegas to win the finals. There's something going on here, okay? It's not just shits and giggles. We're not just imagining this, okay?
Sandra, you're saying they're so unbeatable, but they only beat themselves. So I just got to just wait it out and wait for them to beat themselves, yeah. Honestly.
Yeah, but they beat themselves when not all three of them were on the court. Yeah.
I believe that could happen again.
I believe it could happen again, but I'm praying it doesn't, because I don't want to see injuries. I don't want to see the same thing that we saw last season. I don't want to see a Kawhi-less Clippers. I don't want to see a LeBron James or an AD-less Lakers. I don't. I want to see everybody at full health. And if everybody's at full health, tough cookies trying to beat the Nets, because it's not going to happen. But in a Christmas game, in Christmas time, when the Nets are coasting and really not up for it, yes, with Russell Westbrook, the Lakers are going to smack the Nets, maybe by 10 points. But I just feel like the Lakers will win this game just because they'll get up for it, Jay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but I definitely also disagree at the same time. I give you the edge thing. I feel like definitely the Lakers will be playing with more edge and something more to prove in that potential matchup. Absolutely, there's nothing to disagree with that. But because of that, I feel like the Lakers will be the team to take to not be in top gear, because they're like, you know what? You guys are coasting. We're planning to see you guys later. We're not going to show you our spade tonight, because you guys are trying to figure us out, because you guys want to see us potentially in the finals. So we're just going to coast. I can honestly see this being a very low scoring game. I mean, I'm not saying like 85, 82, something like that. No way. It'll definitely reach it to the hundreds. But I can really see this being a game where both teams don't put 100% effort, because they're both are teams that have playoff aspirations, as you mentioned. These teams, sure, playing in Christmas is fantastic, but I want to play in May. I want to play in June. I want to be competing for a championship, and that's what these guys are going to do. And maybe the Lakers definitely do have more incentive to be like, all right, let's see what our big three looks against their big three, because we're newer. You know what I mean? We are newer. But the thing is about being newer, Sander, is that come Christmas, there's a high probability that this Lakers team will have more reps under their belt than the Brooklyn Nets do. Because they don't seem to put too many reps together with each other, because, like I told you, they kind of self-destruct themselves. Yeah, they're unbeatable all three together. Fantastic, Sander. 17 times that only happened last year.
Yeah, 17 times it only happened, but they won more of those games than lost. So if
absolutely. You're not wrong. But what happened when you needed them to be there? They didn't do it. That was a shortened season. That was only a 72. Now you're going back to an 82 game season. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we have the regular layoff now, so hopefully everybody getting right and they get their bodies right and they could wear out the 82 game season. But all those guys on Brooklyn Nets, Sander, are all a year older. There's nothing in the world convincing me that they're gonna stay healthy for another playoff push. I don't see it happening.
But, Jay, the same thing that the NFL dealt with no training camps, no practices, that the NBA was dealing with last season. They're coming back this season. They're going to have full training camps. They're going to have a full year. James Harden is going to have a full offseason to get in shape, work out, not come into the regular season as fat as he did last season.
I've been waiting for that, but he's been chilling with rappers.
Yeah, I mean, chilling, but he's in shape.
At least see Russell Westbrook and LeBron in the gym together. They look focused.
Look, man, I've been keeping up with a few of these guys' social media accounts, and I've been keeping up with a few of these guys' videos, and James Harden is putting in the work. James Harden knows that he's under the Adidas umbrella, and they're not going to keep sponsoring a dude that doesn't get it done. They want champions under that umbrella. So the pressure is on James Harden right now to not only get it, Jake, but the fact that – he needs a ring more than anybody of the – between the Lakers and the – and. I think he needs a ring more than Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook kind of has the better career. I just think they're right there. They're right there. But I think
I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit just because I think Russ benefits more from the ring than James does. You know.
I mean, check this out. If James Harden wins a ring, he's automatically the second best shooting guard of the third best shooting guard of all time. You know,
his top five spot is cemented for sure.
Yeah, he'll take Wade's position at three if he wins a ring. If Russell Westbrook wins a ring, he's not cracking the top five in point guards of all time.
But that's not where Russell stands though. Russell stands where like Big O and fucking Chamberlain, like the guys that just do stats that nobody touches. You know what I mean? He's in that different category.
But that's why I would say I feel like a ring would mean more, a little bit more, not astronomically, but at least a little bit more than Russell Westbrook, because James Harden has that pressure. He's been that guy. He's been an MVP, and then he's had the crashes in the playoffs. It's time for him to step up. He came into the preseason last season fat as hell. He didn't want to be in Houston. He still wasn't in shape when he arrived in Brooklyn. He had to battle that hamstring and try and get in shape. Now, with an entire offseason, I think we're going to see we're going to see the James Harden that we saw in Houston. Not like the level of him scoring, but his productivity, the way he runs the offense. We're going to see that MVP style play again. But I don't think we're going to see that come Christmas time.
Can I say, Sander, I love the matchups. You're going to have AD versus KD. You're going to have Russell Westbrook versus Kyrie Irving, and then LeBron James versus James Harden. I think, you know, stylistically, those will be the matchups to me. You know, I just feel like that's like I said, Jose, you could be mad that the Nuggets aren't playing on Christmas, but damn, talking about superstars? Shit, that's as good as it gets, man.
Yeah, I'm not mad.
Just only on the star power on the court, but just the narratives alone. You know, Russell doesn't like fucking KD, and KD think he better than LeBron, and AD trying to show that he's still the best big man in the league. I love it. Like, I think it's just like for Christmas, that's a Christmas present for everybody under any tree right there.
I mean, we've seen the Nuggets play on Christmas. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen Jamal Murray and Joker play. I mean, he is the first MVP to not get a Christmas game, which is sad, but give him a Christmas Eve game or give him a game right after. The Nuggets, JJ, their time zone is really what affects, too, the Christmas games as well. You know, when you're playing in Denver, you're, 11 o'clock game?
I mean, Sandra, you don't say that, but freaking L.A. time's even backer.
I think it's at Brooklyn.
I would have to check. I think it is at Brooklyn. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's at Brooklyn.
Jose, be happy. Listen, Jokic is worried about playoffs, not Christmas, okay?
It's not a Christmas game, bro.
Take it like that. Maybe he celebrates Hanukkah or something. Who knows? He didn't want to play on Christmas. I'm not sure. Nonetheless, we love Jokic. You know, it would be nice to see him on Christmas, but would I rather see Jokic or LeBron or KD and Russell Westbrook, AD, Harden, Kyrie?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that combo. Nonetheless, Sander, I can't wait for Christmas already. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook and our Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, check us out on Twitter at Pot Sports and on Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Also, check out all our content on our website at clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And give us a listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports. Be right there, Sander. Yeah, man. I'm already – it's only – what is it? August 18th, and I'm already thinking about Christmas time. Imagine.
I know.
Yeah, and like I said, when you just see the roster that's going to be on the court that day, Sander, it just plays out perfect for all the fans. We love star power, and you know the NBA has the most of it because it is the most star power ridden league.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks are going to be playing on Christmas, you know. That just goes to show. It's like – you really want the powerhouses of the NBA – Not standing wise, because we know the Nuggets is up there, but we want the teams that brings the most eyes to national television. And Jose, my favorite term, quite frankly, the McNuggets don't push no needles. They don't move any. they don't get any ratings. No one's gawking to come see the Nuggets. Like, oh my God, I gotta go see the Nuggets play. Oh, no one's clamoring to. No one's lining up the turnstiles to watch the Denver Nuggets play. As good as Joker is, I'm sorry, but I digress.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe next year, Jose. I'm Sanders Sanchez. Oh, I'll call myself Sanders Sanchez. I'm JJ Vargas. He's Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Friday.